Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're in the book of 1 Peter as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Kyler Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Turn, if you will, to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter there in chapter number 1. The pastor, I guess just a couple weeks ago, we started going through the book of James, and I've been missing out on that a little bit. I saw the first week, I think the second week I was in Arkansas, and then the third week I was down in White City. But I know that's got to be a wonderful study. I love the book of James. I love the parallels that it draws to the book of Proverbs. But right after that book of James is that first epistle of Peter. And that's what we're going to take a look at this morning, 1 Peter. And just so we can understand some things, the background of the epistle here, the church is about to face severe persecution, or is facing severe persecution like it's never seen before. Many of you be familiar with that fellow by the name of Nero, and just the ungodly joy that he found in the persecution of the followers of Christ. And the church is about to be facing some hardships and all that we, as blessed as we are in America, probably can't even quite wrap our minds around. The struggles that the early church is going through. And Peter, he's going to write this letter of encouragement to them. And it's such an awesome fact that coming from Peter here for a few reasons. First, we just see that, and he opens it up and he says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And with Peter, we find that the first time that we see him in Scripture comes in the book of John, chapter 1, there in verses 40, 41, and 42. There at the baptism, when he's come with Andrew, Jesus looks at Peter, and that's actually when he gives him that name, Peter, that we know him as. Simon gets that name for Peter, and meaning that rock. And it's in a reference to his character. And it's almost a foreshadowing of events to come as Jesus here, way early before he's called out the apostles, he says, you're going to be called Peter, rock. That's going to be your name, almost of Jesus foretelling of events to come yet. And here's Peter's just come up and met the guy, so to speak. And it's a really neat story there on its own with Andrew, his brother. Poor Andrew, he gets left forgotten about a lot, it seems, in the scripture among the disciples. We think of Peter, James, and John. We see those three so heavily involved in the ministry and special aspects of Jesus' life down here on the earth. And so he received that name, Rock. Jesus had already kind of foreshadowed the apostleship that was coming. And it refers to a soul that's hard and unyielding. It's courageous and bold. We find that he was married. Some scripture references that in Matthew 8:14, Mark 1:30, Luke 4:38. And that his wife accompanied him. We find in 1 Corinthians 9:5. We read that Jesus not only foretold of basically his following of Jesus, but Jesus foretold of his death as well. When he had mentioned to Peter about a man will take you where you would not go, gird your loins, that it's John 21:18, where Jesus foretells the martyrdom of Peter, which we learn he was crucified, and he requested to be crucified upside down, we're told, because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified in the same manner as his Savior. So Jesus called him Petros, that rock or stone. And it's important to notice he is not a pope. Supremacy of any kind was never imposed on Peter by Jesus Christ. It was never claimed by Peter in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And it was never acknowledged by any of the other followers of Christ that Peter had some kind of a position that would be similar to some kind of a popehood or something that was in an, somehow Christ had conferred this supremacy upon him, and that was not so. Not so. That's why Peter just opens it up. Peter, simply an apostle of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's what he was. Okay. He was a flawed man. And I want to just, let me just read this to you from Acts chapter 10 and verse number 25. I like this. He makes a statement that I want us to remember. When it's Cornelius comes before him, and we find in Acts chapter 10, verse number 25, it says, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. And Peter says this in verse 26, but Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. Peter recognized his position. He said, I also am a man. Cornelius falls down to worship at his feet. And so much could be thought about that statement. He says, I myself also am a man. He's likening himself unto Cornelius here, and there's a whole other gamut we could run there about Peter and that ministry there to the Gentiles, in contrast to that of the Jewish people. And he's put himself on the same level as him, saying, I myself also am a man, like unto you, with the same spiritual needs that you have, get up, is what he tells Cornelius. Not only is there the association there of our relationship to the Lord and how much we need him, but also we see that Peter understood that fallen nature of man and how easy it is for us to slip up and to fail and to fall. And many times we have the early leaders of the church and these great missionaries up on a pedestal. And we elevate them maybe sometimes above the position we ought to, because it should always be Christ that we're looking to and looking for, and what he's done through these men that were flawed men. Great men that God used greatly, but they're not perfect men. And we can take encouragement from that, knowing that none of us in here are perfect. And God here in the first churches uses imperfect people to accomplish a perfect work, and he can still use imperfect people to accomplish a perfect work. And so we find that he has that vision. Many of us might would remember the scriptures about that cloth is laid down, and he says, he hears the voice, Peter does, says, eat. And I think it's three times Peter says, no, Lord, I won't eat, it's unclean. And the Lord tells him, what I've called clean, don't you call unclean. And it's setting that stage there for that ministry that he's going to have, reaching out to the Gentiles in contrast to that of the Jewish people. And I tell you this because a flaw arises in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 11. When Paul gives a confrontation to Peter, it just tells us that when Peter was come to Antioch, I, speaking of Paul, withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Can you imagine a leader of the church making a mistake? It's nothing new. Why? Because I too am just a man. And Peter knew that. And Paul says, I had to confront Peter about this issue because he was at fault. He says, before that time, certain came from James. He did eat with Gentiles. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing here. He's reaching out to these people. But something happens. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. He fell into that trap of that peer pressure where he's fulfilling his role in the ministry, but then he sees how other people are going to look and judge him, and he falls back onto that carnal nature, and he begins to fear them. And he gets up and he removes himself from them so that they wouldn't speak ill of him. And we find that others followed his example, including a certain fellow by the name of Barnabas, also was carried away in this act of the getting up and the leaving these Gentiles out of fear of what the Jews would look upon them as or say about them or do to them. Well, Peter was just a man.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. And visit us online at westwoodmbc.org to hear more teachings like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.